The How Not to Suck at Divorce podcast cannot be copied or rebroadcast without consent. This podcast does not contain legal advice. The information contained herein and provided on the podcast and the resources available are not intended and shall not be construed as legal advice. And with that, enjoy the show.
You spoke, we listened.
Our number one product, the Divorce Crash Course, is now available as a private podcast.
So for $150, you'll have access to listen to the DCC just like you're listening to this episode right now. You can watch the DCC and you'll get the printable workbook.
More importantly, you'll get insider information to save up to thousands of dollars on your divorce.
The Divorce Crash Course, expert divorce guidance for a fraction of the price. Check out the link in our show notes or visit thedivorcecrashcourse.com. The process of getting divorced might suck, but you don't have to suck at getting divorced.
You have found the only divorce podcast that's hosted by a family law attorney and a recovering comedian. Get ready for action steps, empathy, and a lot of laughs.
This is How Not to Suck at Divorce.
So you were a little late to recording this podcast by a few minutes because you had to draw on your eyebrows, which they look very good, by the way. But a few other things I have to tell you. Number one, don't laugh. They look very nice. Although I feel like you missed a spot maybe on the left, but I'm not quite sure. Anyway.
It's getting better and better.
Number two. Two episodes ago, you had on the cutest pants from what you called Shein and I called Sheen, and I bought them because they are that cute. They won't be here until probably 2032, but they are on maybe a ship somewhere, so I'm very excited about that. And the third thing I have to tell you is today we are number two in the world for divorce podcasts on Apple Podcasts. I mean, I knew we were good, but I did not know we were that good.
I mean, we're that good, girl. I mean, listen, we're number one on some charts, number two on some, number three on others, but look, Apple putting us at number two, huge coup. I'll take it too.
Thanks, Apple.
We'll take it. And now that we are sitting pretty at the very top of the list, I'm going to say something that's going to piss off a lot of our listeners. And
oh,
I don't care. And you can't stop me.
I never thought I could. Unknown if I'm ready. I'm actually a little scared, but I guess there's no stopping.
Women are bitches.
Oh, we got we got hate mail the other day that we are only talking about women and we are anti-men. And now you're going after women?
I'm done.
What?
You know what? I'll say, okay, of course, not all women are bitches. But in this world of like conflict, right, that this show is about, I have come to the conclusion that women, it's almost like I'm glad that I am a woman in a hetero relationship and I had to divorce a man and not another woman, because having conflict with women fucking sucks.
I mean, but where are you having conflict with women? What are we talking about?
You know where I'm having conflict with women. What do you mean you ask me this as you're already laughing? These fucking dumb fucks that I have to deal with all the time on a daily basis at my kid's goddamn school. First of all, they can all fuck off. Second of all, not all of them, some of you are fine. But some of these a-holes are such a-holes, and they make people miserable. And it got me thinking today when we were prepping for this recording, and I'm like, you know what? I really feel for a lot of men who are going through this process, and they're like, would you stop? Will you stop pummeling me with these incessant, nasty messages and trying to flip the story around, and you're always the victim, and na 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 na. And look, I know that this goes both ways, and I know that women, I mean, look, I'm a woman. I left in a bad relationship with a guy. I'm the first to say that it can be horrible and wildly manipulative. But girls, let's have some accountability for our actions. And this episode is dedicated to those who have been told by their spouse that their spouse wants to leave the marriage. And they're kind of like, what? They're blindsided. They don't want this divorce and they don't know what to do. And you know what? We're going to help you through this.
Yeah, we are going to help you through this. That was a lot that you just unloaded just to start the episode. I want to know, though, are you taking accountability for being late because of your eyebrows? That's what I want to know.
Yes, that's why I texted you and said, I'm not ready yet. I need to draw on eyebrows. And the reason is because I thought, you know, I'll just jump into this. It doesn't matter that I look like Death Becomes Her. But then I thought, well, shit. If we say something amazing that we want to have a video clip of, there is no way I will allow a video clip to go into the interwebs with me browless. Filterless, fine. Browless, you got another thing coming.
I'm just thinking of like literally no eyebrows and how crazy it would look. Okay, so moving into the episode so I can get my mind out of the gutter. If you don't want a divorce.
What gutter? What gutter?
The gutter I'm living in right now is you browless and I can't get my mind off of it. So
I don't know how you're making that sexual, but okay.
All right, so you don't want the divorce. You got blindsided. What do you do if you don't want the divorce, but your spouse is moving forward? That's what we're talking about today, right, Andrea?
Yeah, because it's a real issue. And I mean, I can only imagine what a horrific, tough spot this is for you. Your spouse told you that they want to end the marriage. This marriage that you have been committed to, you've worked on, you've sacrificed for, you've built a life, a family with this person. You don't want things to change. This feels like a nightmare. So what are you supposed to do?
Yeah, I've been there so many times with people in my office, and it's heartbreaking to see it as a divorce lawyer. And I have to explain, and this is one thing that's hard to do, is for the person who doesn't want it, if the other side wants it, they're going to get it. And that's the hard reality of what you're thinking about, because you're thinking, well, I don't want it, so therefore it's not going to happen. But the reality is that if somebody wants a divorce in most jurisdictions, most states, most countries, they're going to allow for a divorce. There may be a waiting period in certain places. There may be certain things that you have to do before you get a divorce, but there's really kind of nothing that's going to prohibit somebody in an unhappy marriage or that wants out from getting out. So, you know, recently I had a client and it was really tough to deal with this client because in this case, the husband really wants a divorce and my client is the wife in that situation and she doesn't want a divorce. And the hard part for me as a divorce lawyer in this is that she hasn't come to the conclusion herself that her marriage has been tough for a long, long time. She hasn't come to the conclusion herself that she might be happier alone. She's kind of been living by herself anyway, where the husband's kind of outdoing what they want to do. She's raising the children, et cetera. And yes, it can go both ways. I'm not saying that it doesn't go both ways. There are men that raise the children. It's the same thing both ways. And I see it both. But here, I had the wife. And the reality is I could see that the marriage wasn't working, but she wasn't there yet. And so my job as a divorce lawyer is to walk her through and walk her down this road of what's going to happen and what to expect. And I'm going to give a few tips, not quite yet, but I'm going to give some tips. If you are on the receiving end of a divorce and you don't want this divorce, how to get through it maybe a little bit better or with a little more grace.
So we're going to map out this conversation in two different categories and in two different timetables. So we're going to do this in the legal aspect and the emotional aspect. And we're going to do this in the case of your spouse has told you that he or she wants a divorce, but they haven't actually filed. And then we're going to go into, okay, now what if they've actually filed? Because your action steps are going to look a little bit different. And I want to back up because one of the things that Morgan just said was, you know, in some areas, in some jurisdictions, you might have a waiting period that somebody has to go through. And that made me think our international listenership has grown a lot over the last few months. So if you are listening in the UK or in another part of the world and you love some of the insight you get and not all of the things that we're telling you lines up with where you're at, Hey there. Thanks so much for listening to the show. We're doing our best to bring information to you that, you know, will work in your area. The best way to do that is if you message us and say, hey, this is where I'm at. Can you guys give me some more information in the Melbourne area or London? We've had a lot of attention in London recently, so we're going to start bringing more information over there. But just wanted to give a shout out to everybody who's not in the US who listens to this show. And now going back to this topic, if your spouse has not filed yet and you haven't started the legal process, but they're serious about getting a divorce, they want a separation, they're going forward with this, I want you to listen to what Morgan's about to say, because it's really important that you're informed and prepared, especially if this is something that you don't want. And we're going to get into that in a minute.
That is right. All right. So I'm going to talk about the legal side and what you should do. So nothing's been filed yet. Your spouse hits you with the fact that they want a divorce. Right then and there, I want you to take them seriously, okay? Because if you don't take them seriously, then you will not protect yourself. And I want you to take it seriously, and I want you to protect yourself. I want you to take a few steps. And I'm not talking about the fact that, like, maybe you've had a great marriage and just your spouse isn't happy. And then you're like, protect myself. This isn't going to be World War III. No, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about protecting yourself with knowledge. And that's hard to do sometimes when you've been blindsided by the fact that somebody that you love wants a divorce. So the first thing that I want you to do legally is start building a community around yourself if that's what your spouse tells you, that they want a divorce. What does that mean? One is the goal is to get yourself up and running, get yourself stronger to go through this divorce process. You maybe didn't want it, but if the train has already left the station and if someone's telling you they want a divorce, probably that's the case. I want you to think about, how do I get the strongest version of myself? That might include getting yourself a therapist to walk you through this process, walk you through your emotions. The reality is, and what I see is that time is really the only thing that heals this pain, this grief that you're going through. Therapists can help expedite that. Therapists can get you in a good spot. Therapists can definitely manage emotions better. Another thing, maybe you're not ready for a therapist. That's okay. Maybe you can find one friend or one really good family member to confide in to help you get a little stronger in this process. Again, Andrea and I are not saying to go out with Tara, Sarah, and Bobby down the street for 1,000 glasses of wine and spill all the beans. That is not what we're saying. That's maybe one of the worst things you could do in this situation. But find one trusted confidant that you can lean on. And here's the other thing. If you need community to build you up, that's what we're here for. We have a great community online. We have action steps that you can actually purchase on our website if you need a little more help. We have it for you, and we have a free community online. So the first step legally is you've got to get yourself strong, and whatever that looks like for you, that might just be even taking more walks for yourself, clearing your mind. That's what the first step is. And it's kind of legal, but it kind of isn't as well, but it's going to help the legal process. That's why I put it on my list.
I want to know why. Why is it important to be strong?
That's a great question. It's important to be strong because you are going to be tasked, if the divorce happens, you're going to be tasked with making some really big decisions. And we all know that you cannot make really good decisions for your long-term goals if you are not strong. You're going to make pretty bad decisions. I mean, that's why we started this podcast to begin with, because when I met Andrea, she had just gone through her divorce. She had made some pretty bad decisions. Why? Because she wasn't maybe as strong of a person that she wanted to be in that moment, or she raced through certain things. I mean, she's been open and honest about that. We don't want that for you.
Yeah. Okay. What are your other two action steps for people who, legally speaking, if their spouse has not yet filed?
All right. Number two. So this is something that I hear a bunch, and I don't want you to feel bad if this is you. If you know nothing about the finances, I want you to get strong on the finances. And what I mean by that is start gathering documents. And you might say to me, I don't even know where to start. Well, here is your information on where to start. These are simple ideas for you to start. Number one, see if there are documents in your house. There might be, you know, filed away tax returns or bank statements, or maybe you have access to your bank statements. That would be the first best place to start. A lot of people, don't feel bad, don't have access to even those statements or those tax returns. There are ways that you can get it. So what I would suggest, three super simple things that you can do online to get a few of those documents. Number one, you can go on the irs.gov website and you can pull your tax returns for the last few years. Fill out the paperwork, get your tax returns if you don't have a copy of it. Don't feel bad if you don't have it. When you should feel bad is when you actually don't learn and you don't get the documents that are easily accessible to you. You shouldn't feel bad that you never had them before and you don't know, you know, how to get them. That's what we're here for. Second thing that I want you to do, especially if you're not in the finances, pull your credit report online. MyFreeCreditReport.com, TransUnion, any of those places. It might be a small fee. Pay the small fee. Get your credit report. It shows you what you're linked to, what bank accounts, maybe what debt you may have that maybe you don't know about. You want that free credit report. Third thing, you can go online and pull your Social Security statement. It will show you kind of what you've paid into Social Security, what you've earned the last many years that you've been working. Those are three good documents to start with.
So I'm curious. So I want to recap what you just said. So you said, number one, you want to get yourself mentally strong so that you're able to endure the divorce process and whatever that means to you, whatever steps you need to take to get mentally strong. Number two, you want people to start educating themselves on where they're at financially if they're in a little bit in the dark. So pull your credit score, get your hands on tax returns or whatever you can find, and pull your Social Security so you know what you've paid into that, so you know what you're entitled to.
Yes, I would say not just your credit score, your credit report, because
your credit report.
The report that actually shows exactly what's tied to your name.
Right. One, something that you didn't mention, and I'm curious to know why. Why do you not think that somebody should meet with an attorney yet if their spouse hasn't filed?
Why are you taking my number three?
I thought you said you did one, two, three. What do you mean? I thought three was Social Security.
No, that was in the bucket of gathering your financials. So number one was getting yourself strong. Your eyebrows are really throwing you today. Number one was building a community, getting yourself strong. Number two is gathering financials. And I gave you three options on how to gather some of the documents you may need. Number three, the third thing, is interviewing attorneys. The reason that I did this number three is that if you had a few financial documents, if it lines up time-wise before you go to an attorney, that might be useful. Is it necessary? No, it's not. That's what we're here for, to get that information. But number three is so important. And you might be saying, but I don't want a divorce. Listen, from a divorce lawyer, people don't interview divorce lawyers always wanting a divorce. What do they interview divorce lawyers for? One, to protect themselves, and two, to get the information. It sounds so lame and trite, but we always say this, knowledge is power. That's where you're going to get your knowledge from. That's where you're going to get your power from. That is where you're going to get the information to really kind of start building yourself up in case the divorce does happen.
Meeting with a divorce attorney should make you less anxious, not more anxious. Now it makes sense to me. I get it now.
Good.
So now that we have those three legal action steps for if your spouse has not yet filed, we're going to go into some three action steps that I want you to do for your emotional health. The first thing I want you to do is I want you to get a pen and paper. I want you to physically write this down, because science shows that our brain processes things differently when we actually write as opposed to typing, okay? So I want you to write down positive things that you get from your marriage. And I want you to be specific. This is a chance for you to focus on your happiness and for you to be able to analyze if your needs are really being met, okay? So every category I want you to go through, I want you to write down things like, let's say your spouse is a really good gift giver, right? And that makes you feel really happy and recognized. Write that down. Let's say that your spouse takes care of the kids in a way that just makes your life so much easier. Write that down. Let's say the sex is great. Write that down. Let's say the sex is not great and there hasn't been sex or intimacy in a long time, well, then that's going to go on the other side of your sheet of paper, which is going to be the areas in your marriage that need to be worked on or things that really need to change in order for your needs to be met. And why do I want you to do this? Because a lot of times when somebody comes to you and they say, let's talk about friends, for example. You could have a friend break up with you, right? And you're just in this place of like, what the fuck happened? What do you mean they don't want to hang out anymore? Oh my God, what did I do? Am I a shitty person? Am I the drama? Like, but you never stop and think, do I want this motherfucker as a friend? This is your chance to see, do I want this?
I want to add a few things. I agree with you. I want you to also, on the right-hand column where you're kind of talking about things that maybe are missing in your marriage.
Listen, I know that the idea of using an app to communicate with your co-parent sounds far from what you pictured your life would look like.
But we want you to know that using Our Family Wizard, our favorite co-parenting app, will help make communicating, organizing schedules, and sharing important information so much easier. Take it from me, things can get messy in a divorce. Be proactive and use Our Family Wizard so that your kids aren't exposed to any co-parenting drama.
It's a decision that I wish I would have made when I got divorced. So guys, I want you to see for yourself how Our Family Wizard can help your family. So go to ourfamilywizard.com/notsuck20 and you will get 20% off the Our Family Wizard Essentials subscription.
When your brain is, you know, in this tizzy of, oh my gosh, they're going to divorce me and I don't want this, you're probably going to be able to think pretty clearly about things you like about the marriage. And maybe the tough stuff is a little harder. One way to think about it is to look outside of your marriage, meaning not like go have sex with someone, not what we're talking about. What I'm saying is look outside of your marriage, look at couples that you admire and write down things that you admire about them that maybe you don't have in your own relationship. The other way to think about it is we've all dated before, generally before getting married. Think about somebody that you dated prior to your spouse and maybe something that they have that your spouse does not bring to the table. Those are good things to put on that right-hand column about what the marriage is missing.
And let me just frame that up a little bit tighter because this is all about how that person made you feel, right? So I don't want you to compare it like, well, when I dated Allison back in the 90s, she had a really tight ass and that was amazing. And your ass is no longer tight. So, you know, fuck off. No, this is about how that tight ass made you feel, right? It's about the feelings that you got from that other person and what you're no longer getting, because this is what's going to help you frame up your mind for where are areas where we could possibly improve this together and where are areas where it's just not here. I can't change this. And this is why maybe this marriage needs to come to an end. The next thing that I want you to do, and this is related, you're going to draw a pie chart. Remember pie charts? This is a big shout out to one of our favorite guests. We had her on years ago. Her name is Dr. Randy Heller. And we did an episode with her that was called, Is It My Marriage That's Making Me Miserable? And the whole point of this episode was, Dr. Randy was helping us see that there are so many different things in our lives that make us happy and so many things that make us miserable. And it's really hard when you are miserable to compartmentalize and to see, okay, wait a minute. Is this really my husband or my wife? Or is it the never-ending stress at work? So what I want you to do is I want you to draw a pie chart. And with this pie chart, I want you to focus on the happy. I want you to focus on all the things in your world that are bringing you joy. This could be your fantasy football league. This could be your pickleball games. It could be the success you're having at work. It could be your kids. It could be the cocktails you have with the girls on Thursday nights. Whatever it is, I want you to pie chart it out. So we'll see you've got, okay, this is a huge thing that makes me happy. And this is also a big thing. This, you get a little bit of happiness, not as much. So on and so forth. That's going to help you have a visualization for all the other things in your life that you have. It's really easy to go down this like rabbit hole of fuck, 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 fuck. Oh my God. I mean, I remember talking to my husband, my now husband, about what it was like for him when he went through his divorce. And he talked so much about, it felt like I was losing everything that I had worked for. You know, like, I don't want all of that to go away. I'm going to lose my house that my lovely expensive house that we just remodeled, and my kid and my life and my status, like, that's just going away. So what we want you to do is I want you to take a minute to focus on all the other things in your world that fill your cup, that bring you joy. That won't go away, regardless of your status of being married or not married. And again, we're not saying that you're absolutely going to get a divorce at this point. This is just a way of helping you catch your breath. A lot of times people will say, take a breath, everything's going to be okay, right? And then if you've already heard this at this point, you're thinking, shut up. Yeah, right. You don't know what it's like. And you're right. They don't know what it's like. These are exercises that you can do so that you actually have some actual evidence that you will be okay should this happen. Okay, my third step in the pre-category. If your spouse has not decided 100% that divorce is what they want, then you and your spouse are likely a candidate for something called discernment counseling. And I want you to look into this. We're going to put a link in our show notes to an episode that we have done, actually several conversations that we have had with a guy named Dr. Bill Dougherty. He is the founder of discernment counseling. So I want you to listen to those, and it'll get all into what it is, how it works, why it's good. But just so you know, it is not couples therapy. It's a special formulated type of counseling to help couples decide whether they should remain married or get a divorce. And the only way that it'll work is if both people have one foot in the door. So if your spouse is like, no, for sure, I don't want this, then it won't work. So that's why I'm saying, if the door is cracked open, I want you to look into discernment.
Yeah, I agree. And if you are already in marriage counseling and it's not working, we're not really shocked by that. Marital counseling can be really great if both people really want to work on things. But if one person's really kind of just done, you're going to be spinning your wheels and paying a lot of money. So if you're there, that is not unusual. I see that so many times in my office. It's people have been in counseling for a year, year and a half. It's just not getting any better. And they're just frustrated because they're going every week or every other week. And they're paying all this money out of pocket. And they're not even sure that their spouse is 100% still in it.
Yep.
It's frustrating.
And that's why I want you guys to listen to this episode. And I want you to know one more thing. Not every single therapist is qualified to be a discernment counselor. In fact, most are not.
Right.
So after you listen to this episode, I want you to go to the website that we drop in that episode so where you can get a list of people who are actually certified in your area for discernment. And if you need more help, you can message us and we can put you in touch with some of the right people. But this is not something that you just roll up to your current therapist and say, hey, can you do a few discernment sessions with us? It doesn't work that way. And to Morgan's point, if couples therapy isn't working, that doesn't mean that discernment therapy won't work because they're very different. So we want you to leave no stone unturned before you for sure go through with the divorce process. We are both proponents of happy and healthy marriages. And if you can get there, we want you to get there.
Could not agree more. That is a good divorce lawyer is a proponent of a happy and healthy marriage. And also a good divorce lawyer is a proponent of trying everything you can to save it so that when you look back, if you do end up in a divorce, there's never a wonder of, did I do everything I could? Mm-hmm. You've been there. You're down that road. You're done with that road. Next step is a divorce at that point. So I'm just going to recap my legal steps. And then Andrea, if you wouldn't mind to recap yours, just because we love action steps on this show. All right. Somebody comes to you, your spouse, they say they want a divorce. You don't want a divorce. All right. What's the thing that we want you to do? Number one, we want you to get strong, build that community. That could be a therapist, a friend, listening to our podcast, joining our private community, getting extra help on our website, whatever you need. That's getting strong, even taking walks. Number two, start gathering your financials. If you don't have access to financials, or maybe you are not a financial person, don't beat yourself up. You are like so many others out there. Number one, pull your tax returns online. Pull your credit report, number two under this. And number three, get your social security statement. And the third step, interview attorneys. Andrea and I are big proponents of interviewing more than one. That doesn't mean when you step into a divorce lawyer's office that you're getting divorced. You can say on the intake at the phone, I'm not sure I want a divorce. I am calling Morgan because I just want information. That is okay. You're getting knowledge, and knowledge is power. So those are my top three legal steps.
Absolutely. Emotionally, I want you to get out a pen and paper, and I want you to write down all of the specific positive things that you are getting from your marriage. And the reason why is it's tied into the third action step. Okay, so hang on. The other side of that paper, you're going to write down all of the things that need to be improved or the things that need to be changed in order for your needs to be met. And again, be specific. Then I want you to draw your pie chart where you're going to write all, you're going to categorize all of the things in your world beyond your marriage that bring you joy so that you have that right in front of you. You know that these things are not going to change no matter what happens. And then lastly, discernment counseling. Are you a candidate? If you are, we implore you to look into that. And should you go to discernment counseling, that list that you have created is going to come in handy because that is something that you're going to use because that's one of the questions that you'll be asked is, what are the good things? Where do you get from this? And guys, it's really fucking hard to think of things on the spot. So being prepared, especially in a counseling session, is going to help you out.
Listen, if you're in this place of not wanting a divorce, but your spouse does, it's awful. We are here for you. We know how hard this is. And that's why we did this show, because we've gotten questions about it. And honestly, I see a lot of people in my office feeling exactly like you. What we want you to know is you're not alone. We have a community for you. We are here for you. That's why we do this show.
That's exactly right. Okay. Are we ready to move into what happens if your spouse has filed?
Yes, we are ready. Okay. What happens if your spouse has filed? I'm going to give you some legal options and legal thoughts, but some of them are a little bit similar. The first thing is if your spouse has filed, number one, and this is up at the top, start interviewing attorneys. Okay. Because a lot of times when somebody has filed, there's a time frame to respond. And you do not want to miss that time frame. You want to protect yourself. So do not sit, do not put your head in the sand. That doesn't mean that you're all in on this divorce. What it does mean is that you're protecting yourself and your future by seeing a lawyer. The other thing, go ahead.
What are the implications of ignoring the petition and putting your head in the sand?
Well, if you ignore the petition, if you've been formally served, at least where I practice, the divorce could be granted without you coming to court.
Okay.
I mean, the court has certain authority to, you know, distribute property or grant a divorce, et cetera. You could have essentially, if you do something, maybe a warrant out for you, depending on, that's really bad stuff. But, you know, courts are no joke. They have authority. The you know, government gives the authority to judges to do certain things, and they're going to do it, especially if you have been served with the paperwork. Option number two. Okay, so you've already seen an attorney. You want to talk to them about filing a response to the petition and potentially maybe filing your own divorce petition. And there's a reason for
it. Wait,
what? I know. And this is jurisdiction to jurisdiction. But I'm going to tell you something. In our jurisdiction, if there's a petition for dissolution of marriage, that's what we call it. It's a divorce petition that's filed. Someone like, you know, let's say I have the person who doesn't want the divorce, we would file a response to that. We would come in, say she or he has counsel, we're filing a response. Then I would also counsel them to file their own counter petition for dissolution of marriage, which is very scary to somebody who doesn't want the divorce. They don't want to file for divorce. The tricky part is that if you don't have your own petition on file, it could be a litigation tactic to withdraw the petition for dissolution of marriage. So I'm going to walk you through a scenario because Andrea's face is like, oh my God, what is she talking about?
Confused. Okay, go.
Okay, here we go. All right. Let's say Brenda files for divorce. Chad does not want the divorce. And if you've been through our podcast, you know we always talk about Chad and Brenda. They're a normal couple. All right. Yeah. So Brenda files for divorce. I have Chad. I say to Chad, hey, we need to respond to this. We don't need to do anything inflammatory. Let's get the response on file. He says, fine. I say, and you know what else I tell you to do? I want you to file your own counter petition for dissolution of marriage. It's your own filing. He says, no, not going to do it because I don't want this divorce and I don't want them to think that I want this divorce. And I say to him, okay, but you're really putting yourself at risk. All right. He says, no. So then what can happen is this. You go down the road of divorce with the court. Everything seems normal. Let's just say you've gone down the road for about a year with different rulings from the judge.
Sounds fun.
It's not fun. And let's say Brenda has started getting some pretty bad rulings from the judge. Okay. So we're a year down and the judge doesn't like Brenda. And Chad at this point after a year is like, you know what? I am done with Brenda. Like this has been a shit show. We're done. They get to trial, Chad and Brenda. Well, guess what Brenda does the day of trial? She withdraws her petition for dissolution of marriage and there is no case left pending. The case is over. Without a counter petition, that could happen.
Okay.
Andrea's mind is blown.
Wait. Brenda withdraws. Mm-hmm. Chad then, you're telling me that Chad then has to start from the very beginning. None of these prior rulings are in place. The parenting agreement, financials, the fact that, you know, Brenda stripped off all of her clothes and ran through his yard naked through the sprinklers singing, I will survive. None of that ever happened.
So basically, the answer is yes. However, if there was an allocation judgment or a custody judgment entered, typically that will survive. But the little, at least where I practice, and I'm doing this with a caveat because I want you to talk to any lawyer about this, but there's a reason we have strategy meetings with the client and tell them what we recommend. But here, yes, the little mini order. So I've seen it where, let's just say during the year of fighting in a divorce, there have been financial orders that maybe weren't favorable to Brenda. And then all of a sudden, the day of trial, Brenda withdraws her petition for dissolution of marriage and Chad didn't listen to me and didn't file his counter petition. The divorce is gone. All those temporary orders that hurt Brenda and were favorable to Chad, gone. Now, if someone does that, usually, at least where I practice, it goes back. If Chad was going to file for divorce then, goes back to the same judge. But like you said, Andrea, all those little things are wiped away. You're starting from scratch. Can you imagine how bad that would be? My point is, your own petition for dissolution of marriage is power. You can always withdraw it if you work it out.
And is it super expensive to do that?
No.
No. So it feels silly, but you should probably do it anyway. Even if, like, let's say you're technically the respondent, but you both agree to get the divorce, right?
Right.
Should you still file your own?
My recommendation is always. And here's the thing. I have had clients where both sides have said, I want to remain married. You know, I've had it where they've gone down the road of divorce for 2 years, and then they say, we want to remain married. It's not a problem. We just withdraw both petitions. It's not a big deal. What we're just kind of solving for is litigation, you know, warfare, basically, where one party can get, you know, a good foot up because of certain rulings. We don't want that for either side.
Oh, my God. Okay. So where are we at now on your list? Because I'm
all over. Right. The first thing, remember, was to interview attorneys just to get knowledge and power and protect yourself. The second thing is, if something's filed, do what your lawyer says. File a response. File a counter petition. Don't blow any deadlines.
Okay.
And the third thing I would say is get a strategy from your lawyer. We talk about this all the time. You talked about something, Andrea, that I think was so important, which is, even if you're just getting information from your lawyer, when you walk out, you should feel better.
Yes.
Same thing with a strategy meeting with your lawyer. So if something's already filed, you want to know the roadmap. And again, the roadmap may change day to day, depending on what the other side is doing. We cannot contemplate what may happen. But a strategy is so important, just so you feel comfortable.
You know what? I was just texting just earlier today with a friend who has some post-decree issues, and I texted her about an attorney whom we actually sent her to. I'm like, what do you think? Are you happy? Yep. And I said, do you understand everything? And she said, no, I don't think so. Well, then we have to pause. We got to go back. And you and guys, friends, lovers, bitches at my school, you have to understand. If you don't understand what's going on, then you have to be your own advocate and ask and make sure you get that clarification. It's not just about liking the attorney. It's about making sure that you understand the strategy that's in place. You know what's happening right now. You know what the next step is. And you know what the plan B is.
I couldn't agree more. And if you don't know that, it's not embarrassing. It's not upsetting for lawyers to get an email that says, do you mind to put in writing the strategy that we talked about? I just must have blacked out during our meeting, or I was so stressed out, I didn't take in anything that we talked about. That's okay. It's your case. We work for you. We want you to know and to direct us in your case. We want you to understand, because ultimately, everything is your decision. The whole court case, it comes down to your decision.
Yep. Are you, because that goes right into my first action step on my emotional list. Are you, do you have anything else that you need to mention in your legal list?
Those are top three. And I think if you stick with it, you're going to be just okay.
Emotionally, guys, if your spouse has already filed for divorce, I know your head is spinning. So what I want you to do is really listen to these action steps I'm going to give you for your emotional help, because they're going to be directly tied to legal, okay? Number one, what Morgan just said. Hey, attorney, can you please reiterate this? Because I think I blacked out in this meeting, or my brain was shutting down. Can you go back over this? Yes, you absolutely should do that if you don't know something. And that conversation is going to cost you money. So what I want you to do preemptively, you got to take physical notes in your meetings with your attorneys. And here's why. It's not just because I want you to remember everything. It's because in our brains, when we're given information that sucks, our brains shut down. Or if they don't shut down, they actually block out. They filter out information, things that our ears are hearing, but that our bodies know, like, this is going to hurt us. Our brains just kind of make it go away. The problem with that is a lot of / the majority of the conversations that you're going to have with your divorce attorney are going to fall into that category. The way to make sure that you're getting the information is to write it down. Write it down as they're saying it. And then you can go back and look, because our brains are beautiful organs. I mean, they're amazing, everything that they do. But one of the things that they do is protect us from shit that we don't want to hear. And you're going to miss out on really important information that could affect your money, your kids, your future, because your brain's just like, la, 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 la. I don't like this. Okay? Take notes. The next action step is listening to me right now. And this is going to suck. So don't turn off your brains. Stay with me. I know you don't want to hear this, but if your spouse has filed for a divorce, they do not want to be married to you anymore. And I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. Maybe you didn't do anything wrong. Maybe you didn't. And that's really fucking unfair. And again, I'm sorry. Morgan is sorry. We know that this is painful, and your pain and however you're justified in what happened does not change the reality. This is happening. You also deserve to be in a relationship with somebody who wants to be in a relationship with you. And if you have kids and you're thinking, this is so unfair to them, they did not ask for this. You're right, they didn't. And I want you to consider this. I want you to go in the future, many, many, many years from now, your son or your daughter asks you to go to lunch and they sit down in front of you and they tell you that their partner wants a divorce. Would you advise your son or your daughter to remain in a marriage where they're telling you that their partner no longer wants to be with them? Would you want your son or your daughter to be treated in a way that's less than you know they should be treated? No, of course not. So now I want you to think about the fact that your kids are learning from you. They're going to watch and they are going to absorb everything that you are doing. You are always a role model for your kids, and you have to act accordingly, regardless of the pain.
Okay, that hit home for sure. And I'm sure for a lot of our listeners, the one thing I want to tell you as a divorce lawyer from what I see is that you are worthy of love. A lot of people in this position where somebody doesn't want to be in a relationship with them anymore feel very bad about themselves and that they're not worthy of love, clearly, because, you know, Brenda doesn't love me anymore. So I must just be sucky for the whole world. This is never going to happen again. No, I am here to tell you that is not true. It might not be the perfect fit with Brenda, but guess what? It will be the perfect fit with somebody else. And I promise you that if that's what you want, and you are worthy of love and you are worthy of happiness, everybody deserves happiness.
Everybody. Every single person. I remember a therapist I knew of once said to me, even crazy people deserve to be happy. Crazy people deserve happy. So, hey, if you're crazy, you deserve happy. My third action step is really simple. It's to get emotional support. That means myriad of options. Join a community. Go to therapy. Listen to this podcast. Don't air out your feelings on social media, because that's not real emotional support unless it's in a private community. Join our private community. It's a great one. And get the Divorce Crash Course, because believe it or not, that program that we wrote will offer you emotional support in the form of helping you wrap your head around everything. The more empowered you are by facts, the calmer that your mental state will be. And we also offer a lot of therapeutic ideas in the Divorce Crash Course. We give you mental health breaks. There's so much more packed in that program beyond just legal action steps. So whatever support looks like for you, get it, because you deserve support. You deserve to be loved, and you deserve not to fuck up this process by letting your brain shut down and not remembering, not retaining the information that you're getting in these meetings with your attorneys.
And if you find yourself, because I see this a lot, putting your head in the sand because you're like, I'm just not going to deal with this, allow that for a period of time and say to yourself, okay, for the next hour, I'm going to put my head in the sand. Mm-hmm. But guess what? When the clock strikes three, we're out. I'm going to start getting strong, or I'm going to learn what this is in the divorce process, or I'm going to turn on How Not to Suck at Divorce, a different episode, and start actually learning. That's the thing about our podcast. I've had clients say it. I've had other attorneys who have given the podcast to clients. It's a learning process through our podcast, and it's confidential. Nobody knows you're listening to it. Go take a walk, put it on, learn something. You'll probably laugh a few times, hopefully, with some of Andrea's comments where I'm usually mortified, but that's what we're here for. And hopefully you'll feel like we're your divorced best friends, because that's why we do this show.
That's right. And you can't do this in an hour. You can't get divorced in an hour. You don't have to. So don't force yourself to be okay in an hour. Don't force yourself to heal rapidly. There's no certificate given at the end of this thing for congratulations to Daniel. Daniel only cried 4 times during his divorce process. But that fucking Brad, man, what a pussy. He cried for a month. Nobody cares. It does. This is not a thing. You're going to feel real feelings because this is hard. Sarah might have a mental breakdown on a Wednesday, and Carolyn held it together until Monday on the way to school, and then she lost it. It's fine. We are all equal in this. We want you to get through this process with as little cuts and bruises as possible. Because I promise you, the next step of your life, the next stage that you're in, is going to be so much better. We want to get you there as fast as possible.
Divorce is a marathon. It is not a sprint. And for those of you who are maybe having a bad day, a bad week, don't worry. Sometimes it's day by day. Other times it's hour by hour in this process. And that is okay.
That's right. And I can't believe I just said the P word on air. I've never said that word before. What?
I honestly, inside.
That was intense. But you know what? That's okay. Maybe we need a little like moment of like shock, a little shock and awe.
You did it.
I did it. It was amazing. I'm going to make sure that it gets deleted later, which I'll forget to do, but that's okay. Guys, you're going to do this. I know you are. We're here for you. Listen to your attorneys. Listen to the experts. Take it one step at a time. You can get through this. We know that your arms and your legs are tired from doggy paddling, but you're going to get to the shore. I promise you that you will. And in 5 years from now, your life will look completely different. So hang in there. If you liked this episode, if you feel like this helped you in some way, and I really hope that it did, give us a review. These reviews help us so much. There's going to be a direct link in the show notes for a really simple way to leave us your thoughts in a 5-star review. Anything less than a 5-star, we're not interested, so keep it moving. We love you. We are here for you. And you have got this, my friends.
And guess what? We have got you.